Welcome back, listeners, to Sandman Stories Presents, a folklore podcast where I read you to sleep or until the next story. I'm your host, Dustin. Today we are back in the book of Turkish fairy tales written down by Ignaz Kunyoz. Some of the Turkish words you might hear in the story are leblebi, which are roasted peas, and cama, which is a small chapel. Now, this is the story of Muhammad the Baldhead, who is not the shiniest penny in the bunch, but he still comes up with clever ways to win. Okay, let's begin. Muhammad the Baldhead. When the camel was a messenger, when frogs could fly, and when I used to roam up hill and down dale, there lived two brothers together. Besides their mother and poverty, they had little livestock which they inherited from their father. Now the younger brother, who was bald, conceived one day the idea of dividing their little property. So he went to his older brother and said, "You see these two stalls? The one is quite new, the other almost worn out. Let us turn all the cows loose, and those that return to the new stall shall be mine, the others yours." "Oh, no, Muhammad," answered his brother. "Those that return to the old stall shall be yours." Muhammad agreed. The cows were let loose, and all returned to the new stall except for a miserable old blind one. Muhammad uttered not a word of complaint or dissatisfaction, but daily drove his blind cow to the pasture, returning regularly every evening. One day, as Muhammad was sitting by the roadside, the wind blowing violently through the trees made the branches bend and creak. Muhammad accosted the tree thus, "Hey, creaker, have you seen my brother?" The tree, apparently not hearing, creaked all the louder. Muhammad repeated his question, and as again the tree did not reply, the bald head became furious, took his axe, and proceeded to cut it down. But lo, an avalanche of gold pieces fell out of the trunk through the incisions he had made. Making use of what little sense he had, Muhammad went home and borrowed an ox from his brother, yoked it to a cart, procured sacks, which he filled with the earth, and went to the tree. Arriving at the spot, he emptied the sacks and refilled them with the gold. On his return, he amazed his brother with the sight of so much wealth. The younger brother was again seized with the desire to divide, the older, we may be sure, having no objection this time. He borrowed a measurer from his neighbor, exciting that man's curiosity as to what the stupid fellow Muhammad could have to measure. The neighbor smeared the insides of the measurer with birdlime, and when the bald head returned the article, a gold piece was found adhering to it. This neighbor related his discovery to another, and that one to a third, and in a short time the whole village knew of Muhammad's luck. The possessions of so much gold occasioned the two brothers much perplexity. They did not know what to do with it. Eventually they took spades, dug a deep trench, buried the money, and hastened to leave their native place. After setting off, however, the older thought to himself that he had not locked the house door, and he dispatched the younger to see to it. On reaching home, it occurred to Muhammad that he ought to secure his mother's silence, so he heated a boiler of water and put the old lady in, and kept her there until she uttered no further sound. Then he took her out, supported her against the wall with a broom, put the door on his back, and went with it to his brother in the forest. When the older saw the door and understood what had happened to his mother, he became very angry with the bald head, who flattered himself, saying that he had done something extremely clever in bringing away the door to prevent anyone opening it. The older took the younger by the scruff of his neck and shook him violently. While reflecting on what he should do further, he saw three horsemen riding along the road. In their fright, the brother saw that the cavaliers were pursuing them, and anxious to escape, they climbed up into a tree, carrying the door with them. As it was already dark, they were not discovered. Muhammad reflected that they were lucky to have escaped with their lives. And in this grateful frame of mind, he let the door fall on the head of one of the cavaliers who was passing just underneath. The rider whom it struck put his spurs to his horse and galloped away quickly with the cry, "Mercy on us! It is the end of the world!" A few days after this adventure, the older brother had enough of the younger's vagaries and secretly forsook him. What could Muhammad do now? He was alone in the world. He wandered on, weary and hungry, till at length he reached a village. He took up his position at the door of a jami and begged for paras and food from the passers-by. A little man with a thin beard came out of the jami, and on seeing Muhammad asked him if he would like to become his servant. Yes, answered Muhammad, if you promise never to be angry with me, whatever happens. If you ever become angry with me, I have the right to kill you. On the other hand, if I ever become angry with you, you have the right to kill me. As it was very difficult to obtain a servant in this locality, the man agreed to this extraordinary condition. The baldhead commenced his duties by slaughtering all the master's fowls and sheep. Are you angry with me, master? He asked. No, of course not. Why should I be angry? Returned the affrighted man. Henceforth, however, Muhammad's duties consisted of sitting in the house, doing nothing. The master's wife was afraid that soon it might be her turn to follow the fowls and sheep. So in order to escape from the madman, she persuaded her husband to go away with her secretly by night. But Muhammad, hearing of their intention, hid himself in the luggage, and when it was opened in another village, he stepped out. Now the husband and wife took counsel together, and, as a measure of safety, resolved that all should sleep that night on the seashore. Muhammad should go with them, and they would seize the opportunity while he slept to cast him into the sea and drown him. Muhammad, however, had so much cunning that he threw the woman in instead, and she was drowned. "Are you angry with me, master?" he asked. "Why should I not be angry with you, you wretch?" cried the man. "You have not only ruined me in fortune and brought me to beggary, but now you have bereft me of my wife." Upon this, the bald head seized him, and reminding him of his condition of employment, cast him also into the sea after his wife. Muhammad, once more alone in the world, tramped about, drank coffee, and smoked his pipe. One day he found a 5 para piece, with which he bought leblebi. While eating them, he accidentally dropped one, which fell into the well and was lost. Now Muhammad began to cry, "I want my leblebi! I want my leblebi!" And this loud bellowing brought to the surface a giant with 2 such immense lips that one swept the sky and the other the earth.
"What willest thou?" he demanded of Muhammad.
"I want my leblebi! I want my leblebi!" the bald-headed continued to scream.
The giant disappeared into the well, and presently came up again, holding in his hands a small table. Giving it to the bald head, he said,
"When thou art hungry, say, table be laid. When thou art satisfied, say, table enough."
Muhammad took the table and went to the village. When hungry, he only had to say, "Table, be laid," and the most expensive dishes were set before him. The food was so delicious, he hardly knew what to partake in first. In his conceit, he thought, "I want the villagers to see this." So he invited them all to a supper. When they arrived and saw neither fire nor food, they concluded their host was just jesting with them. But when the fellow brought his little table and pronounced the words, "Table be laid," the feast was ready in a moment. All ate their fill and went home envying their bald neighbor, and devising various schemes to deprive him of this wonderful piece of furniture. Finally, it was settled that one of their number should creep into Muhammad's house during his absence and steal the magic table. Thus it came about that Muhammad felt the pangs of hunger once more. What should he do? He went to the well and began to cry,
"I want my leblebi! I want my leblebi!"
And the giant appeared.
"Where is the table?"
"It has been stolen."
The giant with the thick lips popped down into the well and reappeared with a handmill. Giving it to the bald head, he said,
"Turn to the right, gold. Turn to the left, silver."
So the fellow took the mill home, and he turned it so many times to the right and left that his floor was strewn with money. He was now a richer man than ever had been in the village before. Somehow the villagers got wind of the precious mill, and one fine day it was missing.
"I want my leblebi! I want my leblebi!"
was again the cry at the well. The giant came up and demanded,
"Where are the table and the mill?"
"Both have been stolen from me," lamented the bald head.
The giant went down again and appeared with 2 sticks, which he gave to our hero, cautioning him strictly against saying anything other than the words, "Cudgels, come together." Muhammad took the sticks and examined them. Desiring to put their efficacy to the test, he pronounced the words, "Cudgels, come together!" And immediately they flew out of his hands and commenced to beat him most mercilessly. "Stop, cudgels!" he exclaimed as soon as he had overcome his surprise, and they ceased belaboring him. Though sore from this chastisement, Muhammad was glad nevertheless, for he already had thought of the use of which he could apply these sticks. Hastening home, he invited all the villagers to his house, though without divulging his reason for calling them thus together. They came together eagerly, full of curiosity to see what other wonderful thing he had to show them. At the auspicious moment, Muhammad introduced his couple of sticks, and at the words, "Cudgels, come together!" fearful strokes descended on the heads and bodies of the guests. They began to cry out for mercy, but Muhammad declined to utter the formula by which the punishment ceased until all had promised to return him to the table and the mill. The articles were brought back without the loss of time, and peace was restored. The bald head took his three magic gifts and went to his native village, where he rejoined his brother. Being now wise and wealthy, our hero, as well as his brother, married and lived a merry life. Henceforth, there was no more prudent man in the village than Muhammad the Bald Head. The end. Well, this was another twist on the same story we have heard from the Philippines and the Azores and from Ghana, and I'm sure it's not the last time either. And also, again, I had to take out an ethnicity and replace it with a giant. These Turkish tales have a real thing for portraying Jews as crafty and greedy, and Arabs as dumb and only good for magic or heavy labor and having gigantic lips. I also didn't like the murders in the beginning of the story, but oh well. He didn't really seem like a hero to me. Oh well, I enjoyed the story, and I'm looking forward to more of them. And the podcast shout-out is to the For Your Reference podcast, hosted by KT and OT. These two amazing hosts take you through the latest movies and TV shows, breaking them down, and then talking about what they liked and didn't like. The really cool part is that since they are based in Australia, I get to hear about shows and movies that I might not have. Also, it's cool that OT brings his Kenyan background and KT brings her Tongan background, and they bring those perspectives into the show. It's really awesome. They are for sure friends and lovers of this pod, and if you get a chance to listen to them, you'll get the reference. And so if you like their podcast as much as I do, go and give them a listen, a rating, a sploosh, and a review. And the listener shout-out is to Harjuma, Estonia, which accounts for 86% of my listens from that country. This is where the capital city, Tallinn, is situated. They were conquered by the Danish and had lots of German influence up through the St. George's Night Uprising, which was an attack on the non-Estonian population which had been oppressing the locals. Tallinn is thought to be Estonian for Danish castle, as that is where the invading Danes put a large castle in the 1200s. The city looks absolutely beautiful, and I would love to visit someday, but only in summer. And so to my Estonian listeners, I say, Tänan ja head od. Thank you, and good night.